The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, we are about to get into our Bible study, kicking off a brand new series. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Do we have that bumper? All right, there's a bumper. Grab it this week. So, all right, next week you'll get a little video bumper, but this week you'll just have to do without. Oh, well. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right, first of all, before we get into the scripture, I got a few questions for you. Over this past several months through the school year, we've been focusing on a lot of what Andrew just said. First of all, realizing that Hope Hill Church exists for a reason. And it isn't necessarily our job to go and huddle together and try to brainstorm some mission statement, try to come up with some creative idea, a way that we're going to be giving God our glory. God already wrote our mission statement, and it's exactly what Andrew just said in the Great Commission. God said, go and make disciples. Teach them to observe everything I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that is our mission. As a church, we need to do everything we can not to come together to gather, but to go and to come here to be equipped, to be inspired, to be reminded, to be challenged, to sharpen one another so that we can be the missionaries that God has called us to be wherever we eat, play, sleep, study, and shop. We are His missionaries on His mission to fulfill His purpose. And throughout this school year, we've been challenging you to get on God's mission. We've been challenging you to look at your new life. When we started January, a new year, we looked at ourselves and we said, who are we? And are we anything like the people God wants us to be? And we did some self-evaluation. And then we talked about how there is somebody God wants us to be. He created us in one way, and He wants to bring us new life, to create a whole new me. But we also realize that in and of ourselves, we can't be who God wants us to be. On our own, we can't fulfill the mission that God has for us. And Jesus knew this was so. And so before His mission on earth was done, after He died on the cross and rose again, which we celebrated last week, He went to His followers and He said, wait, before you go on this mission I'm sending you, wait, and you will receive what? You'll receive power when who comes? The Holy Spirit. And we did this whole series called Forgotten God. We just finished it a couple weeks ago on realizing that in order to be who God wants us to be, in order to do all that He's calling us to do, we need to let His power and His presence invade us, to rip us open and to clean out all the junk that's there, put us back together and become filled by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. As we start to realize that, as we start to walk in the Spirit and live the way He's called us, we will begin to see things differently. And you and I will begin to see how blessed we are and how rich we are. That's our series that we're going to walk into today. Starting today, it's going to take us about 5 weeks to get through this passage of Scripture and this series. And my challenge is that you wouldn't zone out. My challenge is you wouldn't think that this message isn't for you, because this message is for each and every one of us here. And I hope that regardless of your social status, regardless of what your paycheck looks like, and if you even get a paycheck, we'll all see that God has blessed us all and that we all are rich in Him. Let's pray as we get into our study. Father God, I ask that You just open our hearts to who You really are. I pray that Your word would just empower us, would convict us, would tear us apart and put us back together. God, help us to realize what it is that You're calling us to do and help us to be on Your mission and not our own. Help us to realize, God, through this next several weeks, how rich we truly are in You. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, how many of you, let's see by show of hands, how many of you, when you were little, or maybe even last week, hoped that one day you'd grow up and be rich? Raise your hands. You're lying if your hand is not up. How many of you have ever just hoped one day you'd win the lottery, but I've never bought a lottery ticket. It doesn't work that way. A lot of us have had those, man, if I only had fill in the blank, so-and-so amount of money, I'd be rich and I'd be able to do everything and anything that I could dream of. How many of you know somebody who's rich? Don't point at them. How many of you know someone who's rich and you wish you had their money because you know you'd do a lot better with it? All right, now here's the real personal question. How many of you in here are filthy rich? I see a couple hands. Ushers, spend some extra time right there. The truth is that we all are rich, and you may be pushing back, but just hear me out today, and I think you'll hopefully land on the same page, and we'll all move forward together. Being rich is something that's more than just something of substance and finances and goods. Being rich is how we live life. And God has called us to be rich. Now, if you're visiting with us, we are not a prosperity gospel church. I am not the kind of pastor that believes if you have enough faith, you're going to have a huge bank account and a mansion, not just in heaven, but on the corner. We are not that kind of church. We know that very faithful people are suffering in His name. Very faithful people are doing all they can to share the gospel and live for Him and bring glory to Him and are struggling. And so that is not in Scripture. Scripture does not say if you're faithful enough, if you follow Jesus, you'll have streets of gold. It does not say that. And so just get that clear from the beginning. This series is not about how to double your checking account in a month. We are going to touch on that kind of stuff, but this isn't a how-to course on how to get out of debt and become wealthy. It's much more than that. My encouragement to all of us is that we would look at our lives and we would see the blessings that God has poured into our lives, and we would begin to see things through His perspective and begin to live transformed lives. My hope and prayer is that we will see this world differently as we begin to see our own lives differently, and that God will use us to learn how to be rich in a way that honors and glorifies Him. So, a few things I want to share with you today. First of all, I have good news. And I have bad news. Which do you want first? Sorry, notes are already written. We're going with the good news first. Good news is in your handouts. You have handouts for today. And so you can get out those notes if you're a note taker. I'll try to do my best to stay on top of the notes and make sure you get all the blanks filled in. But let's go ahead and dive in. First of all, the good news is you are, what do you guess the word is? Rich. That's the good news. And it is good news today. Every single one of us in this room is rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19, our passage for this series. I want us to look at that together. Timothy is being challenged by Paul. Timothy is being raised up by the Apostle Paul to become a disciple maker, to become a church planter, to become someone who raises up leaders to plant other churches, to make other disciples. And Paul is encouraging Timothy in how to deal with all different kinds of people. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, now when it comes to rich people, handle them in this way. It says this, command those who are what? Rich in this present world. I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm not rich in this present world. All my treasures are in heaven, unfortunately. And so why do I need to listen anymore? Please, please stick with me this series, because we are all rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in what? Wealth. which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our what? Our enjoyment. God is not a God who wants you to suffer. Now, there are times that God wants us to go through sufferings, but God wants to be a God that helps you to have joy in all circumstances. And God is not against you being blessed with a nice home. He's not against you being blessed with a good TV to watch fun stuff on. God is not against that stuff. So I'm not here to tear down anything that we have been blessed with, because everything that's good is a gift from God. But we have to be encouraged and reminded in how we are to live with the things we've been blessed with. We are not to put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It goes on to say, he says, command them, those who are rich, command them to what? To do good. To be rich in what? In good deeds. If you were to write a statement for your life, is that one of the statements that you'd have over your life? So-and-so is a person who is rich in good deeds. Command them to be generous and to be willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We're going to break this passage down over the next 5 weeks together. But I want to point out a few things today. First of all, the good news is you are rich. We are rich. Each and every one of us, we are rich. And again, I know some of you just aren't jiving with that statement, but just follow me today. First of all, we are rich. I believe that, and I hope you do too. Those of us who are rich, we are first told to not be arrogant. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. So those of you that are well off, maybe you don't want to use the word rich. Maybe those of you that are comfortable, let us be careful. The first warning is to not become arrogant. For us to not think that, look at what I've attained on my own. For us to think that somehow our hard work has brought all of this goods. And maybe, yes, you've worked hard. Maybe for a while you've lived beneath your means. You've invested wisely. You've done some things to accumulate some wealth. That's all good. But the truth is without God, all of it could be gone in a moment. And even with God, tomorrow, the stock market could drop. You could get fired. Your contract could cease to exist. And before you know it, it's all gone. Earthly wealth is uncertain. But for those of us that have it, those of us that have been blessed, we need to be careful not to think that somehow we did it on our own. But instead, we need to be careful to turn that every blessing we have, we need to turn it into praise. Every blessing that we fail to turn back to God in gratefulness and praise to Him has the potential to become a source of pride in our life. So everything that you have, that you've been blessed with, have you thanked God for it? No, seriously, not just in a prayer here and there. God, thank you for all that I have. Have you really developed a heart of gratefulness, of appreciation towards God for the things that He's blessed you with in your life? We need to figure out how we can cultivate hearts of compassion, hearts of generosity, hearts of gratefulness towards God for the things that He has blessed us with. He goes on and he commands, Paul commands Timothy to command them to do good, to be generous, to be willing to share, to help rich people discover what it means to be rich in a way that makes a difference, how to be rich in the things that matter most. So what is rich? Let's kind of go there today. What is rich? How do we define rich? A recent Gallup poll was done in our community, in our society, and people were asked, what is rich for you? And in all the polls that they did, they went to people who made an average income of $30,000 a year, and they were asked, okay, you make 30. What would it take for you to consider yourself to be rich? The average answer, the average income stated was $74,000 for those who made 30. Now, some of you in this room make 74 and you're sitting there going, this is definitely not rich. They then polled other people who made about 50,000. They asked them, what would it take for you to consider yourself as rich? The average answer there was 100,000, six figures. I remember growing up thinking, wow, if one day I can make six figures, that would be rich. Some of you are there and you've passed the six-figure mark. Some of you are there as an individual. Some of you have combined home income. You're over six figures, but then you're sitting there going, we've got the cars to care for. We've got 3 and 4 soccer teams that we've got to pay dues to. We've got cars in the garage that got to be maintained. We've got college coming up, weddings to plan for, braces. And it just adds up. You may be at $100,000 and that's far from rich. It doesn't feel rich at all. There's so many things that consume every penny we earn. And then in the poll, the top income earners in our society were asked, those who make over $200,000. And the question was phrased a little differently. It was, how much in assets would you have in order to consider yourself as a rich person? And the average response was $5 million in assets. Then I would feel rich. And the rest of us go, duh. That poor guy who only has 2 million in assets. We should all have pity on him. What a poor guy. The rich line never stops moving. No matter how much we make, that line is always going to move. We may think we'll arrive one day, but the truth of the matter is there's never a single month that the 15th of the month comes, you get that paycheck, and you're like, woohoo, I've arrived, I'm rich. It doesn't happen. And it's because we live in such a way that the more we get, the more we consume, and we just don't know how to live like rich people should live. And so we need to look at these passages. We need to look at these thoughts over the next few weeks to realize, what does it really mean to be rich? And how do we be rich? How do we live now? Whether you make $10,000 a year or $200,000 a year, how can you be rich with what God has blessed you with? And that's my encouragement, my hope, and my prayer for us this series. I remember 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago, when I had my first full-time pastorate job, I was offered a contract to be a youth pastor for $26,000 a year. I was so excited. The next day, I met my associate pastor I was going to be working for. He was 30 years old. And he made double that, $52,000 a year. I was like, man, I can't wait till I reach that mark. I'm going to be rich. Well, that time came not too many years ago, and now we have three kids. Sorry, there's one extra Brandy didn't know about. Joking, she's shaking her head at me. Three kids later, and having to keep up with all the things that we have to keep up with, and $50,000 does not feel rich. We don't feel rich because we live in such a way that we consume everything that God sends to us. And my hope is that we would begin to allow that cycle to get stopped somehow in our lives. This series is just as much for me as it is for you guys. I'm learning just as much. And this series, we were doing Forgotten God, I wrote a bunch of my pastor friends and was asking them, hey, well, how should I follow this up? And I'm a part of a really cool coaching group, 12 pastors. We get together once a month and we talk about what we're teaching and what we're learning. And they challenged me with this series. So this isn't all mine. A lot of this is from other people who've used it. So it's tearing into me just as much as I hope it'll speak to you. So the good news is you are rich. Here's a couple things I want to share with you. First of all, two other statistics. First of all, I think this is in your notes. If you make $33,000, which I think the most people in here, one way or another, combined income, you've hit that number. Sure, there are some people who are part of our church because of the outreach we do that aren't at that level. But if you are at $33,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the wage earners in the world. Top 1%. The 99% of the world looks at you and says, you're doing pretty good. How many of you had the opportunity to travel abroad, other countries, where you've seen poverty? If you make $33,000 a year, you're doing pretty good. $80,000, you're in the top 0.1% of all wage earners in the world. And average income in this community is well above that. We're rich. This is good news, and we need to realize that God has blessed us in such a way so that we can be a blessing. We're rich because we have rich people opportunities. I mean, you have the opportunity to give your kid private lessons in whatever it is you could think of or dream of. If you want private lessons in piano or soccer or what else do you do? Martial arts, calligraphy. Why did that come to my mind? There are all kinds of things that we have the opportunity to put our kids in. We have free museums. We have free libraries. I was in a library the other day, and I heard a child say, I wish I had all these books. And someone turned to them and said, these are all yours. This library is yours. I mean, we are rich with abundance of blessings in our community. We have free museums, the free zoo. We have so many things that we have been blessed with. Some of us are blessed so much that we can help others in need who can't put a meal on their table for their family every week. And some of you have stepped up. You've helped fill backpacks of blessings. You've helped provide school supplies for children in need. We are blessed. We are rich. And all of this is good news. Riches are a gift from God. So many of us, we get embarrassed in our culture, in our society. To be called rich is almost like embarrassing. I mean, if someone were to come up to you and say, wow, you're rich, you're like, no, not really. What other gift are we blessed with that we handle in that way? If someone were to come up to you, wow, you guys got such a good marriage. If you could really see it, you know. No, we don't do that. We don't try to excuse it away. If someone were to come up to you and say, wow, you're in great health. Oh, let me show you the flab here. You know, we're not that way. But if someone were to come up to you and say, wow, you're wealthy, you're well off, you're rich. You're like, well, actually, I just know how to shop well. I like your sweater. Oh, I got it on sale. It was 2 for 1. We're so quick to want to explain this away instead of embrace the fact that God has blessed us. And he has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. So let's embrace the blessings God's given us so he can use them for us. The wisest man ever in the Song of Song, in Ecclesiastes 5:19 said this. Solomon said, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, this is a gift from who? God. When God gives a man wealth and possessions and enables them to enjoy them, this is a gift from God. God is a gift giver, and he has blessed many of you in this room with more than you need. From the beginning of time, in Genesis chapter 12, and before that, God said to those who he called, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. When he called Abraham and said, leave the land, I'm going to show you, I'm going to take you over here, and I'm going to multiply your generations so that you, and I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. God has blessed us so that we will be a blessing. He has blessed us with more than we need. We are rich. So I want to help you start to internalize that a little bit with me. So I want you, even though you're maybe feeling like you want to push back, I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, I am rich. And I don't want you to be that weirdo that yells it. So just say it just normally. Just say it normally. Just say it. I am rich. One more time. I am rich. We are rich. And my hope is that through this series, God will show you that. That the blessings that he's poured into your life is more than you need. And yes, I want to be sensitive here. I know some of you, you're struggling to make ends meet. Some of you are unemployed. Some of you may lose your job. Some of you are single parents and you're working 2-3 jobs to make ends meet. I understand that. And I'm sorry for the struggles that some of us have to go through. But even you, God is pouring blessing into your life. And my hope is that each of us, regardless of our circumstances, will see the life that God is giving us as a life full of riches and blessing so that he can use us to bless others. Let's face it, most of us are going to leave church today. We're going to drive home in a car we own. Do you know if you own a car, you're in the top 3% of those who live in the world? The top 3% of the wealthiest people in the world, if you own a car. And most everybody in here has 1, 2, maybe 3 cars, maybe more. You're going to drive home in a car you own to your climate-controlled home. You're going to be able to get yourself a glass of clean drinking water. You're then going to go upload a picture of the pepperoni pizza that you just had delivered to your house onto your Instagram account through the smartphone device that's powered by your unlimited data plan. Let's face it, we're doing okay. We're going to drive past 15, 16 buildings after church to get to the 17th one, those buildings called restaurants, so that we can go to the next one because it's our favorite. We're going to sit down to eat a meal, and it's going to be 3 meals in one. You've got the main meal, you've got the meal before the meal called the appetizer, and the meal after the meal called the dessert. Try to explain that to people in third world countries. What's an appetizer? Well, it's the, as Jim Gaffigan says, how many of you know Jim Gaffigan? Yeah. If he ever comes to town, let me know. I'm going to be there. Anyways, explain an appetizer to someone who gets food once a month or once a week. It's the meal before the meal. Let's face it, we're doing okay. There are over 3 billion people on this earth, half the world's population, that look at us and see us as filthy rich. They think if I could just get to America, I'd be rich. Just getting here. We have to change our perspective. We need to learn what it means to truly be rich. How many of you have a walk-in closet? I'm trying to drive home a few points here. How many of you have a walk-in closet? How many of you have two, a his and hers walk-in closet? How many of you have double-decker closets? You've got clothes up here and clothes down here. You know what half the population in the world thinks? Those rich people, they go into these huge rooms they call closets, bigger than the house I live in. And they're double-deckers, and they got clothes up here. And rich people, they walk in their closet, they touch all their clothes, and they come down to the and then they stand in front of their clothes and go, I've got nothing to wear. We're rich. Are you getting it? The fact of the matter is, when I told you you were rich, very few of you were thinking, wow, I'm so relieved. I don't have to worry about that debt anymore. The truth of the matter is we don't feel rich because we consume everything we get. We consume it all. More and more and more is the way we live life. But God said, command those rich people how to be good at being rich. Not just to think of it for themselves. God blessed us so that we could be a blessing. If we're going to be good at being rich, we have to start to learn to admit it. We have to start to learn living it, realizing that we don't need to be embarrassed about the blessings in our life, but embracing them and realizing, God, you've given me this stuff so that I can use it for others. Embrace it, because God gave it to you for a reason. We have rich people opportunities. We've been made rich so we can make a difference in this world. We've got to ask God, how can I use my blessings, my riches, the things you've given me so that I can honor and glorify you in all that I do. Number two, the bad news. The good news was you're rich. The bad news is you're rich. Let's face it, one of the greatest obstacles to our spiritual growth is riches. One of the greatest obstacles to us becoming all that God wants us to be, to following Him with complete abandon, no matter where He sends, no matter where He leads, are we willing to go? A lot of times it's because of riches in our life. There's a story of a rich man who came to Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, 18, it says this. Jesus was responding to this rich man who came. He says, I've done all that you've asked. I obey all the commands that you ask me to do, Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to be one of your followers. And in Luke chapter 18, 24, Jesus said, how hard is it for rich to enter the kingdom of God? He had just told this guy, if you really want to be my follower, he knew this guy was rich. He had more than he needed. Jesus told this guy, go back and sell all of your goods and then come and follow me. And this guy, the passage says, walked away sad. God, again, is not against riches. He's okay with you having riches. What he does not want is for the riches that you have to have you. And some of us, we've got some riches in our life that have us, that control our schedule. Our riches control our time. Our riches control the way we live. We've got to keep up with our riches. We've got to maintain our riches. We've got to get more riches to get more riches. We need to learn to realize the problems of being rich. Here they are, real quick. Sorry, I tried to cover it. I don't know how to cover this mic. The problems of being rich. Here we go. One, it's harder for us to depend on God when we're rich. We talked about this in the Holy Spirit series. The Holy Spirit's called a comforter. But many of us live such comfortable lives that we don't even see the Holy Spirit working in us. We live such comfortable lives that we don't need the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We are so comfortable that we don't need God taking care of us. The Lord's Prayer, there's a line that says, give us our what? Daily bread. How many of you have ever honestly had to pray that prayer? God, give me my food today. Sure, some of us have. I know some of you have the right to put up your hands. But for the majority of us, we don't have to worry about our daily meal. We've got cabinets full of bread. So it can be harder to depend on God when we're rich. It can be. Number two, it distracts us from our true priorities. As believers, we should know that one of the main priorities in our life is to be in community with each other, to take time to gather together in fellowship with other Christian brothers and sisters, to worship our Lord and Savior. But many times our riches keep us from doing that. I've got to drive down to the lake house and make sure it's ready for the season. Can't make church this weekend. Oh, I've got those soccer games that we're paying for. We can't miss those games. Oh, I've got the boat I got to prepare. We've got so many things that many times will keep us and occupy us, even from being able to have dinner as a family. We've got to work hard to maintain our riches. We've got riches so that we start hobbies that fill our time instead of giving time back to our families. Riches can distract us from the true and important priorities in our life. The third one is we need to realize bad news is that when we're rich, we have a greater responsibility. Scriptures tell us to whom much is given, much is required. God has blessed us to be a blessing, and He expects more when He gives us more. We need to learn to live in a way that turns our blessings into blessings for others. To live life with open hands, saying, God, you've given me, but I'm not going to hold on to this. Instead, God, teach me to learn how to be rich in a good way, in a way that glorifies you. Everything I have, God, is not mine to hold on to. It's yours, because you could take it anyway. So God, I stand before you with all that you've blessed me with, not just my money, not just my possessions, but God, my talents, my time, everything that you've put in my life, God, it's yours. You've given me who I am, my mind, my body, my willing to think, my ability to reason. God, I pray that you show me how to give it all back to you. Everything that you've blessed me with, help me, God, to learn how it can be turned back to you as yours. My hope through this series is that you would realize that God has blessed you, that you are rich. And I want us to be a church full of rich people that know how to be rich, that know how to use our riches in the ways that matter most, that know how to use our riches to make a difference in the world around us. I want to be that kind of church. And my hope is that you're on board with that. You're here today and saying, okay, God, all that I am, all that I have, it's yours. And God will bless you. You cannot bless God. Let's pray. I want to start out this morning as we think about the things that have been shared and asking you a couple questions. The first one is this. One of the stories we heard about this morning was that rich young ruler who came to Jesus saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm willing to obey all your commands. And Jesus turned to him and said, are you really willing to follow me? Are you willing, if necessary, to give up all of your things in life in order to follow me? Would you still follow me? And that man walked away sad. And my question to you this morning is there something in your life that is keeping you from truly following after Christ? Is there something in your life that's holding you back? I don't want any of you to walk away from this service sad today. I want each and every one of us to be able to walk away from this service saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, Jesus, because of you dying on a cross for me, I pray that you come into my life and make me yours. Show me how I can surrender it all to you so that I can be a follower of yours. And I pray that this morning that would be your prayer, that you would surrender your life to God, that you would realize that he died on a cross for you to give you life, abundant life, so that you could then be a blessing to others. Accept his love and his forgiveness this morning. Accept him as your Savior. Let him come in and forgive you and to show you how to live the kind of life that he has called you to live. And then for those of you in this room who have given your life to Christ, my hope and prayer for you and for me and for all of us in here who are followers of God is that we would come to him with an open heart just saying this. Father God, open my heart and show me the areas of my life where I'm holding on to things and not releasing them to you. God, show me how to live a life of generosity. Show me how to live a life of blessing. Show me how to live a life of depending on you instead of depending on my stuff. And I pray that would be our prayer as a church, that we would become a church full of rich people, making an impact and a difference in the lives of those all around this world. God, I ask that you make this possible, that you make this true, that you make this real in our lives. In your name I pray. Over the next few moments, I want to ask that you just think through these things. Our communion ushers are going to come up to serve communion to us. Communion is a way of us remembering all that Christ gave up for us. As we take a piece of bread, we remember that Christ was willing to have his body broken for us. As we dip it in a cup, we remember that he was willing to have his blood shed for us. And the Bible says that his blood was shed for us to offer us forgiveness of sins. And so I ask that today, before you come up for communion, that you let God examine your heart. Is there some sin in your life that you need to let go of, that you need to deal with? Is there some place that you have not surrendered to God, that you would give that to God and then come for communion in celebration of realizing that I'm forgiven, I'm blessed, and I've given my life back to you, God. You died for me, help me to live for you. We'll have prayer teams in the back, both in English and Spanish. And I'm up here, and I'd love to pray with you as well. If there's anything you want to pray for, I would love to pray with you. So I turn this time over to you just to listen to God. Let His Holy Spirit lead you. Take communion in remembrance of what He did for us. Let's embrace what God has for us. God, come and fill this place. Move in our lives. Help us to see how you blessed us. And help us, God, now to let go of the things in our life that keep us from serving you completely. Move in us. In your name we pray. Amen. Respond as you feel led.